Well, with pleasure then, brothers and sisters, I ask Brother Mark to come forward and to give us that word in season.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, in the wonderful hope we share. It's good to be here with you once again, and the brothers and sisters of Kimber send their love. And also, thank you for the very warm welcome you've given to me as well. And once again, we have the privilege and the opportunity to come together to seek the mind of our Heavenly Father, the one who is working with us to bring us to his kingdom. And we've come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who our Heavenly Father is working through to bring about our salvation. And we often forget that the trials and the tribulations that come our way is our Heavenly Father working with us in our everyday lives. He is the potter working with the clay to make that clay, that vessel, fit for his kingdom. But if you're anything like me, brothers and sisters, we don't always see it that way. And for me, two things start to happen. One, we immediately try to resolve the problem ourselves with our own strength. And secondly, the consequence of that causes our spiritual sight to become out of focus. Something which unfortunately I can relate to. Because all too often, I'm trying to resolve things my way. I'm relying on my strength and not our Heavenly Father. And brothers and sisters, how foolish is that? For we know we can do nothing of ourselves. We have to allow our Heavenly Father into our lives. And so we have to reflect. We have to consider. And we have to understand where our strength should come from. And in so doing, it will help us to refocus our spiritual sight. And it's to that I want to look at this morning, brothers and sisters. It's that spiritual sight, that focus that we so often lose. And this week, as I started to prepare for this exhortation, one verse from our readings for today triggered my thoughts and got me thinking. Come with me to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And in verse 27, we read the following. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And it reminded me of a similar verse in Jeremiah. Keep your finger in Mark, because we will come back. But come with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Behold, I am Yahweh, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And this morning, brothers and sisters, I want us to draw comfort and exhortation from these two verses and the important words that have been written, because these words can give every one of us here this morning life and hope, regardless of our circumstances in life. All too often, brothers and sisters, we allow the spirit mind to be overcome by the weakness of the flesh. Why? Because we forget. We forget, brothers and sisters, that God's strength is made perfect in our human weakness. I stand here this morning and I look out at you, my brothers and sisters, but I only see the outward. On the surface, everything appears good. But what about the inward? I don't know the problems that beset you as individuals, at work, in your family, or in your spiritual lives. Just like you don't know all that goes on in my life. And we're good, aren't we, brothers and sisters? Good at what you may say. Well, we're good at keeping things to ourselves. If you're anything like me, we don't like or don't feel we can always share our problems with our brothers and sisters. And that's our problem. Well, that's my problem. We trust, or I trust in myself. We trust in our own strength. I will sort it out. I will deal with it. And I can guarantee now, brothers and sisters, that there are those of us here this morning, including myself, who are struggling with the presence of sin in their lives. There'll be those of us who are struggling with the troubles and the frustrations of this life. There'll be some here who are low in spirit because they're lonely. There'll be some here in bitterness of spirit, and anxiety of heart because of the things that are going on in their lives. There'll be those who feel that they cannot cope and they cannot go on any longer because of the physical bodies that they possess. And there'll be those who have financial issues. There'll be those who have problems within their family. There'll be those who have problems with brothers and sisters. And there will be some here this morning who feel that they cannot cope and that they cannot go on any longer because they feel so spiritually low. And they feel that the truth is too hard a path to walk. Brothers and sisters, when we're in that frame of mind, our spiritual sight has become out of focus. And it's not always our own fault. It's because of the weakness of the nature that we all bear. And that's why we come here this morning, to remember all that has been done for us by our Heavenly Father and His Son. And to refocus our spiritual sight and to search the Scriptures of truth together. That together, from the Word of truth, we might find some answers to comfort us and to uplift our spirits when they fail. And brothers and sisters, we're not alone. Every brother and sister down through the ages of time have trodden the same path that we are now on. And at some time, they have lost that spiritual focus in the truth. And it's some of those examples I want to look at this morning, so we can see that we are not alone. And where better to start our considerations than with the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come back with me to our reading in Mark chapter 10. And where we find the lesson left on record of the rich man who came to the Lord, and we read in verse 17. Mark chapter 10. When I get there. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Brothers and sisters, did you notice that? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And we'll come back to that in a moment. But in verse 21, after some discussion, Jesus says, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And in verse 22, we see that the rich man had much, and he turns away grieved. I don't want to dwell upon the rich man at the moment. I want to consider the effects that this had upon the disciples. And have a look at what Jesus said in verse 23. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And in verse 26, we see the reaction of the disciples. They were astonished out of measure, saying amongst themselves, "Who then can be saved?" The disciples were astonished. They had just witnessed a man walk away from the truth because he was not prepared to give up the things of life. The disciples were amazed, saying amongst themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And we see in verse 26, this was the way the disciples were thinking. They started to think of all the things that they'd have to give up on their journey to the kingdom of God. And suddenly, like us, they realized the enormity of their calling. And as we read in verse 25, they were amazed and amongst themselves saying, "Who then can be saved?" Brothers and sisters, they too began to fear that they could not make the kingdom of God. And you know why they thought that, brothers and sisters? Because their minds were out of spiritual focus. They thought it was by their strength and their efforts that they were going to make the kingdom. They thought that they could do it with their own strength, their own wisdom, and their own efforts. And when they thought on that, they came up with the right question: who then can be saved? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he knew this. And while they were in that dejected state of mind, considering who can be saved, and that they can never keep that straight and narrow path because it's just too hard, Jesus, in one sentence, brings their minds back into spiritual focus. Verse 27, "And Jesus looking upon them saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And we remember our phrase from earlier in Jeremiah, "Is anything too hard for Yahweh?" As we said, our problem is allowing our spiritual sight to become out of focus. And we should take strength this morning that if the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ could lose their spiritual focus in the presence of the great shepherd, is it any wonder, brothers and sisters, that we can lose ours as well? The rich man in verse 17 asks, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Brothers and sisters, he thought he could do something to gain eternal life. And in verses 23 and 24, Jesus reveals to his disciples what was wrong with his thinking. How hard is it, said the Lord Jesus, for them that put their trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? His trust was not in God. He put his wealth, but it was in his wealth. And when called upon to give up his riches, which was where he placed his trust, and put his trust in our Heavenly Father, he just couldn't do it. He struggled. And at that time, he walked away from the truth. And brothers and sisters, the lessons of the young man is self-sacrifice. Verse 20 tells us he was a righteous young man, having upheld the law of Moses in its teachings, having kept them from his youth up. The word kept signifies to keep a watch upon oneself, to be on one's guard. He told the master that he had kept a watch on himself in accordance with the principles of the divine law. But one thing he lacked, a total commitment to spiritual things against the disadvantage of all the material gifts of life. Sell that thou hast was an invitation to show his confession in a practical way. But he had great possessions, and at that time he was unwilling to give them up. And brothers and sisters, it's a challenge to materialism, to us, in the day and age that we live. It was a difficult decision for the young man, and in the affluent society that we live in, it's a decision that we also have to make ourselves and consider. And brothers and sisters, we can sometimes find ourselves in those situations in life when we become overwhelmed with the difficulties that confront us. And in those times, we start to think that we're not going to make the kingdom of God because the way is too hard. And we think like that because we're trusting in ourselves, trusting in our strength. Instead, when these problems come, we should be asking the question through prayer, is anything too hard for our Heavenly Father? And trust plays a very important part of our worship. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and see the emphasis that is placed upon trust. Hebrews 11. I'm reading verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, without faith or trust, it is impossible to please God. We must come to God trusting in him. Because as we've just read, he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But when our minds are spiritually out of focus, like the disciples were, we too begin to look at ourselves like they did, and we find ourselves asking that same question, who then can be saved? What did Jesus do when he became overwhelmed with sadness and the anxieties and the pressures of life that were on him? Turn back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, where it tells us, who in the days of flesh offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Brothers and sisters, that's where Jesus put his trust, not in himself, but in the one that was able to save him. And so we come together this morning for the very same purpose, to focus our minds upon the one who's able to perfect us. You see, brothers and sisters, the lesson I'm starting to learn in my life is it's not what we do in the truth, it's not what we do in the truth that matters. It's what we allow our Heavenly Father to do in us that counts. That's the issue of life. We are the work of our Father's hands. We are the clay, and he is the potter, and he's shaping us. And the clay of itself can do nothing. The clay cannot form itself into a vessel, let alone a vessel fit for the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, before we came to a knowledge of the truth, our Heavenly Father was beginning to work with our clay. James 1 verse 18 tells us, of his own will begat he us with the word of the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word creature in James means an original formation or product. The point I'm trying to make is we didn't come to the truth by the will of flesh. We came to the truth because it was our Heavenly Father's will. Let's have a look at this explained to us in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Brothers and sisters, these are the Father's words. He has chosen us in Christ before the world began. And what was his purpose in choosing us? Come with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and looking at verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Verse 22. In the body of the flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The answer to my question, what was God's purpose in choosing us? That we should be holy and without blame before him. The question to each of us here this morning is, do we believe those words, brothers and sisters? Do we believe that our Heavenly Father can do this in each of us? Come with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, and we're just going to read verse 20, 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when our minds are in focus, we need to remember those words and not the weakness of the nature that we bear. The path that we are on is the right path to the kingdom. There is no other way. A number of years ago, we had a family holiday and we took the children to half a day at a potter's workshop. And while the children were making these weird and wonderful objects, the potter was chatting to us and he explained the importance of how the clay has to be squeezed into shape. He explained that the continual working of the clay is the most important part of the work, as this makes the clay pliable and ready to shape. He said the shaping of the vessel is very simple once this work has been done, because then the clay becomes workable and pliable in the hands of the potter. But then he told me something, because I sort of knew most of these things from growing up in the truth, but he then told me something which I didn't know. He said that when you start off with a raw lump of clay, the molecules within the clay all point in lots of different directions. And it's all this continual working with the clay and adding of the water that gets all the molecules to point in one direction. And that's when the clay becomes pliable and the potter can make the vessel. And brothers and sisters, isn't that exactly the same with our Heavenly Father? That's exactly what he's doing with us. He's working with us, the clay. He's humbling us. He's squeezing it. And in so doing, he's trying to get our minds to point in one way, the same spiritual direction as his mind. And our Heavenly Father wants us to think the same as he thinks. And once he's accomplished that, then the clay becomes very simple for him to mould. However, just like the natural potter, if our Heavenly Father starts a moulding before the clay is ready, then there will be a fault in the vessel. And as we've said, unfortunately, there is no other way apart from this process of the continual working the clay through the trials and the tribulations of life. And we need to bear this in mind when we think that the trials and tribulations of life can't get any worse. And guess what? They do. And thoughts go through our minds. I thought our God was a God of love. So why do these things keep happening to me? And at times it feels like it's only me in the whole of the ecclesia. Sitting here this morning, nobody's got problems like me. In the whole of Christadelphia, no one has problems like me. No one is as bad as off as me. Why me? That question goes through our minds. Is that what we think? Brothers and sisters, it's at these times that the Father is working the clay, working on our characters to get our spiritual minds to focus in the same direction as his, working within us to get us to his kingdom. Our Heavenly Father, we know, he does not want us to fail. And brothers and sisters, when we are weak, when we're at our lowest, that is when God can work with us and help us to become strong in the truth. Think, when our lives are comfortable, do we work harder in the truth? Are we more focused in the Word and our service to our Heavenly Father? Or are we more distracted by the comfortable lifestyle we have and enjoy? Unfortunately, it's only the pummeling through the trials and the tribulations of life that really focus our minds on the things that can save. And we should take hope from this. For not, as we said earlier, we're not alone. The scripture records another wonderful example of the working of the clay with the Apostle Paul. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you know, there were times in the Apostle Paul's life when his thinking was not in harmony with the Father's. And he asked the Father three times that the thorn of the flesh should be removed from his life. 2 Corinthians 12, and going in at verse 7 for connection. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And brothers and sisters, Paul did that because his mind at that time was spiritually out of focus. And when our Heavenly Father, the potter, added a little more water, more working of the flesh, then Paul's thinking began to change, and it became in harmony with the Father's. For in verse 9 we read the Father's reply. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And look how Paul's mind has been refocused in the rest of verse 9. And these are Paul's words. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul acknowledges how the flesh wants to be exalted. It's our natural nature. But it's the opposite of what our Heavenly Father wants from us. Therefore, Paul said, take pleasure in infirmities, in the reproaches, in persecutions, in distress, in the toils and the frustrations of life. All the things we mentioned earlier. And why? Because Paul said, when I'm weak, that's then when I'm really strong. And it's no different for us, brothers and sisters. We are strong then because at that point, we actually acknowledge our weakness of the flesh. And in so doing, we become dependent upon our Heavenly Father. And we start to realise and understand the mind of our Heavenly Father. And the passage that we first looked at becomes more significant to us. Is anything too hard for God? And we come here this morning to focus our minds on the spiritual sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And associated with this sacrifice is a promise of God in relationship to our redemption. God has promised that the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to cleanse us from all our sin. Do we look at ourselves and doubt that promise? Or do we look at our Heavenly Father and trust in his work? That's the question before each of us here this morning, brothers and sisters. So as we partake of the bread and the wine this morning and consider the promise that is contained therein, don't let us doubt, brothers and sisters. Don't let us separate ourselves from the promise of God by doubt. Because God has promised that he's powerful enough to do that which he has promised. So let's not separate ourselves from the body of Christ by doubting. Because we've seen this morning, there is nothing too hard for our Heavenly Father. And you see, sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's not our Heavenly Father's will. It's not in his will that our burdens should be lifted. Sometimes it's not in the purpose of God that the circumstances we find ourselves in should be changed. And when we find ourselves in those circumstances, let us call to mind the words of the one we come to remember this morning. The Lord Jesus, when he found himself in similar circumstances. On Thursday of this week, we'll read Mark chapter 14, and we'll see the agony of our Lord in the garden. Come with me to that chapter, Mark chapter 14. Going in at verse 33. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John. And he began to be very sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground. And he prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And in verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And let us remember those words while we await our Lord's return. And as we partake of the emblems before us, let us rejoice for all that has been done for us through our Heavenly Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And next week, if our Lord should delay and we find ourselves in the difficulties of life, brothers and sisters, let us remember our days of mortality are almost over. The wilderness journey, as we know, is almost at an end. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And we are going to be there in that kingdom. How do we know that we're going to be there in that kingdom? Because the scriptures of truth have told us, for those who hold fast to the things that can save, for those who try each and every day, there is nothing too hard for Yahweh.